Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And it's time for everything you never knew you wanted to know about dangerous plants.
I want to know so much. Because there's a difference between carnivorous and dangerous. There's a high level of danger for some plants, right?
Yes. And this isn't danger for insects. It's danger for people. So much danger. So when I say stabby, toxic, and explosive, it's not a woman in perimenopause.
That is too relatable.
Right? Yeah. No, we're going to talk about, well, the first one we're going to talk about is the sandbox tree.
I was hoping that would be one plant, that description.
It is actually one
plant.
Oh,
good. I'm excited about this episode then. I mean, I was before, but that sells it even more.
I know. It's very extra. So I saw this on Floralogic, which is a YouTube channel with Tasha the Amazon. I'll have links in the show notes. So when I say sandbox tree, what do you think of?
I assume it lives in a sandy environment and that it has roots that pop up creating little sandboxy areas. So I'm thinking something smooth bark, tall tree, sandy area.
Yeah. See, and that's kind of what I actually pictured, like trees and little sandboxes, you know. But if you live in the Americas and it's tropical, you know that that's absolutely not true. And this is a monster of a tree.
Okay.
When they're grown up, roughly 3 feet around, 100 feet tall, and it's in something called the spurge family.
That sounds like scourge, and that's awesome.
I know, right?
Probably not, but...
No, well, it's in the same plant family that has cassava.
Okay.
But also crown of thorns, poinsettia, and devil's backbone.
Oh my gosh, why don't we give devil's backbone plants at like Halloween? Poinsettias at Christmas, devil's backbone. Maybe they do. Maybe it's just not a here plant.
Yeah, well, they're all toxic. They have irritating and sometimes poisonous sap. This is the mafia of plant families,
yeah.
Right? Spurge, no time for foolishness.
I feel like nature is its own Hot Wings challenge, but sometimes you don't know you're participating.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't. I want nature to be safe and pleasant.
Well, yes, no, I agree, but I like
analogy.
How you put it. That's good.
So I've clicked on something, so now those Hot Wings, there's a Hot Wings show where they have on a guest and chat with them, and then they eat.
Yeah, Hot Ones.
Yes. And I don't watch it very often because I'm distressed at this. But that's what this seems like.
Yeah. The latest one is Melissa McCarthy. She's enjoyable. It was a struggle.
Does she get very far?
She got to the end, but it was a lot of work.
Because she seems to me like she would be from the European, like just a quick look at her makes her look European from the we don't eat spicy food zone.
No, we eat casseroles. That's what she, yeah.
But you never know, right?
Yeah, she did it. It was definitely type 2 fun when it was done. You know, she had achieved. But yeah.
Whew. She needed a lot of milk.
She did. She had milk and a sprayer. But she's funny. So
yes, she is.
She made it enjoyable. There are some people who have done it who are just big babies. And it's like, you know.
You knew what you're coming on for.
I know, for hot food. I would be, wow, I'm flattered. But no.
Yes.
Can't do it. Okay. If you stand under a sandbox tree when it's raining, and I don't know why you would because the trunk is covered with a dense layer of spikes, and we're going to get into that. It's raining, and say you're like, oh no, and you run into a grove of these trees, you're taking shelter from the water. The water running off the trees will burn your skin.
Oh no.
Yes. The sap is that toxic.
I run under trees. I have curly hair. That rain, it's a risk. I'm going to have like ram horns on my bangs.
Well, here you would have melting flesh.
Wow.
The sap is so toxic. Some indigenous peoples used to mix the latex from the tree with sand and throw it out into water to stun fish.
Awesome.
Right?
That's amazing.
Okay, so the name sandbox tree comes from the seed pods, which is odd. So they're slightly smaller than an adult palm size, like 3 inches. And they hang from the branches and they look like the most stereotypical squat pumpkin shape.
Oh,
They've got like little ribbed sections.
Yeah, that seems friendly.
I mean, it looks kind of like a peeled orange, except mm-hmm. it's, you know, green and then it dries to a brown color. But they're really cute.
Deceptively cute.
Mm-hmm. Once it dries on the plant, each section has an almost inch-long curved seed. And when ripe, and when I say ripe, you know, I think of like a ripe strawberry. They mean when it's ripe, when it's dried to perfection.
Okay.
Okay. It is dried out. All the fruit is gone. It's just this husk of a seed pod. It will explode.
Great.
And it launches seeds at upwards of 70 meters per second. That's 160 miles per hour.
Oh my gosh. It really does explode. It's not just like poof.
No, no poof.
Oh, wow.
No, this isn't a happy little dandelion. This thing is shooting seeds up to a football field length away.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So I assume that as we have continued to move into areas, they probably cut these trees down now. You're not going to walk out of your subdivision and the Amazon and run into these.
No, it's going to be more in the tropics. Okay. You know, it's South America, tropical forest, that kind of thing. But its name, sandbox tree, originates from they used to take the seed pods, and I don't know how they disarmed them like grenades, hollow them out, and you would fill it with sand and use it as an ink blotter. So, you know, you're writing with your fancy handwriting a letter to your friend in the 1800s, and then you'd sprinkle sand on it to absorb some of the wetness. Yeah, so I don't know why someone was like, hey, you know what we should do with those things that could kill people?
I feel like that's just another example of the trophy culture. Like, I was close enough to this life-threatening tree. I'm very exciting world traveler guy.
That, you know what? I like that. I like that angle. But let's talk about a plant that wants to kill us a little closer to home.
Okay.
The water hemlock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's so toxic. When I saw a video of someone talking about it and touching the plant, I cringed.
Okay. Water hemlock sounds like something we would have here. Is it close to us?
Yeah. Well, yes. Water hemlock is just, it's just here. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the water hemlock is the most violently toxic plant that grows in North America.
Violently toxic. When an agency is saying that, you want to listen.
If you eat it, you're screwed because it contains cicutoxin, which turns your nervous system to pudding and you seizure to death.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, your nervous system is important. It should be functioning.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's a cute plant. It looks a bit like a carrot gone to seed. You know, if you ever had carrots in your garden, you let them go. They grow these really tall stems and they kind of have this umbrella of little white flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the water hemlock is in the carrot family. It's often confused with wild parsnips and other medicinal plants. So like people are like, this will make me feel better. And then you die.
Oh, it resolves the problem, I guess.
Oh, no.
Really quickly. Goodness. So
yeah.
Is it around marshy, swampy areas?
Yeah. So found in damp woodland meadows in every state west of the Rockies. It's a very pretty plant. It says, touch me. I dare you.
Yikes. Okay. Just another reason to stay out of the marsh, everybody.
Yeah. So WikiHow says, if you're like, is it a carrot? Is it a parsnip? Or is it the water hemlock? If you cut the stem, if the sap is yellowish and smells like mice or raw parsnip, then stay away. How about we just avoid questionable plants, right?
Agreed. The people who hunt and eat mushrooms, they're like, they seem super low key, but they are wild risk takers to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that, because my dad he was the president of the Jefferson County Mycological Society. How does that sound for
I love woo-hoo. That.
And they were like, never pick mushrooms without someone who has experience.
Mm-hmm.
This water hemlock is the same way.
Same.
And then there's another plant that looks very similar to water hemlock. It's called giant hogweed. And that is the invasive plant. And it does not play. It's native to southern Russia. And hogweed loves Washington, Oregon, and other parts of northeastern United States.
Uh-oh.
I went to the Oregon coast. I saw hogweed everywhere.
Really? It's just out there.
14 foot tall.
Oh my gosh, what?
Yeah, it's just growing wild.
14 feet?
Yeah.
Is this a viney thing that creeps up like you drive past the raspberry field?
No, you should look up giant hogweed.
Okay.
14 feet tall. It's a monster of a flowering plant. Giant serrated leaves. And it's just awful. It is the Karen of the plant world.
Giant hogweed. Okay, it looks like in the close-up, it's showing some of those pretty white blooms, and we have something short that's pretty like that.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, gosh. But there's a government site with a picture of it with a man standing next to it, and it's well past his height.
Yeah, gigantic.
The New York State Department wants you to know, the National Park Service.
Yes.
the first three sites are government agency sites, basically. Okay.
And they're all... Just don't, because this plant, the sap affects the skin in such a way that even after you wash it off, you have to keep the affected area out of the sun for up to 48 hours.
Ooh.
So that New York State Department of Environmental Conservation info page, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes because it's horrifying. They show a photograph of a person's calf from knee to ankle post sap exposure.
Yeah.
It looks like third degree burns.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. That's when you put in giant hogweed, the second term that comes up is giant hogweed burns. I'm going to go there, everybody. Oh my goodness. Oh, it is like, and they show charts of day 12. You still have bumps, but it's starting to normalize in color. Oh gosh. It really does look like you put your leg up against the tailpipe of your motorcycle or.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. It's like the worst sunburn.
Mm-hmm. And the hands, blisters on the hands. Oh my heavens. Okay, click, closing that search.
Yeah, no, it gets gruesome really fast. And it turns out that heat and sweat make it worse. That one person where it shows you day one, day 12,
yes.
You can have burn scars 5 months later.
Oh my gosh. And if you are hiking through there and you wander through in shorts and a t-shirt, you could be so terribly... I wonder how much of a burn it takes to start threatening your nervous system because so much of your skin is compromised.
Oh, I don't know. And see, the problem is that the sap has photosynthesizing furanocoumarins. So it makes it so that your skin is not resistant to sun at all. So it's not so much that the sap burns you, it's that the reaction of the sun on your skin, you know, so there's some medications like sulfa drugs, when you take them, they're like, don't go in the sun, you will burn. This is that on steroids.
Holy cow.
And even after you heal, they're saying you could have long-term sensitivity to sunlight on those regions that were exposed to sap for like the rest of your life.
So you're super into flowy linen tops from there on out.
Yes, exactly. And then I saw this one footnote. If sap gets in eyes, rinse with water and wear sunglasses.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I was going to rank this one. Here's my ranking. Sand tree can actually attack you. You don't even have to be close to be injured by it. So sand tree wins. Yeah. So sand tree can burn your skin and shoot its little projectiles at you.
And it's got giant thorns. If you fell against the trunk of this thing, you'd be skewered there like a Shrike bird skewering something on a piece of barbed wire.
Okay, so that one wins. But I think this one is second place because of the potential for accidental exposure. I'm not going to eat that one that looks like a parsnip. I don't eat things from the ground in the wild. So that's my lowest risk, thankfully. But those other two, you could definitely have some unintended exposures.
Yeah, the big issue when giant hogweed started to be a problem, and I remember reading an article about this, was people accidentally hitting them with the weed whacker.
Oh my gosh. And then you aerosolize it and it's everywhere.
And it spatters all over you.
Oh heavens. That's another good reason to not do the yard work. Just put up a danger sign and wow.
Yeah. So if it looks like a carrot, just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. It could be Queen Anne's lace. It could be giant hogweed. It could be water hemlock. It could be a wild parsnip. Who knows? Stay away.
Yeah. Better to go to the grocery store and buy yourself a standard parsnip.
I think that's just the smarter course of action. Yeah.
I thought we were going down the road of like carnivorous plants and wow. And the fact that the giant hogsweed is here. Hogweed, not hogsweed. Just one hog.
Just one hog. It's weedy. It's very mean. Yeah, and it's really it's a huge problem because you can't just roll up and throw on some gloves and yoink it out because it's sappy.
Yes.
So you have to be super careful in getting rid of it. And then it just loves that moist west side so much.
I was a camp counselor for a handful of years there in the late grade school, mid grade school for my kids. We never talked about this problematic plants. And now if I was sending my kid to summer camp, we would be having a little session. Here's what this looks like. Don't let your friends go by. Do not eat things. I know you're going to be tempted.
Yeah. Because over here, it's poison oak and poison ivy, right? Yeah. And, you know, leaves of three, let it be. It's nice in the fall because it turns a bright red color and you're like, oh, that's easy to find.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty arid here, but we do have some swampy zones.
Yeah, we do. We do. Mm. Careful out there, people. The world, nature, she does not care about you.
No. Is that scary tree also in Australia or is that not? Because that feels like a very Australia vibe right
it
there.
It does, doesn't it? I didn't think that it was. No, that I need to check because I did not think that it was.
We'll do a special episode on plants that could kill you in Australia.
No, it's native through most of tropical America. So, okay. So Australia, you have your spiders. We have our killer tree.
Wow. No, thank you. This just reinforces that maybe camping isn't for me. Stay on the trail, everybody.
Watch out for bears and plants that kill you.
Wow. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
I need some cortisone. Yes. I'm feeling itchy, you know?
Me too. And I'm just going to wear a long sleeve shirt and a big hat today. Good. I have had my skin, and I wonder now if it was after taking like antibiotics or something, but I've gotten a sun rash before, and that alone was distressing, but was short-lived, mm-hmm. few days. So to have something that you couldn't get off you, and then once you did, you thought you were out of the woods, but I feel like one of our sponsors should be Calamine Lotion and Cortisone Manufacturers. Hit us up if you're looking to advertise on a podcast, buddies. You're just right down our lane. Hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. We're Brain Junk Podcast, wherever you listen. Of course, like and subscribe. What is not to like? We could have saved your life today. Trace has done you a service.
Yes.
Especially if you travel a lot and you go to somewhere that's not your normal zone. Those pretty flowers, you might cut some to take back to your place. Don't do it. Pictures. Leave with pictures. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you needed to know or wanted to know. This is what you needed to know. I don't know what the line was supposed to be. That's what you get today. I guarantee you will not be bored. Take another pass at it.
Oh, I love doing this with you.
Me too. It's fun.